pupunta. Kay sarap ng buhay, lalo na alam mo kung saan papunta.
At narito po ang ating local news hatid sa atin ni Manang Trini.
Yes, ito, maglo-local news na tayo. Sandali lang po. I'm just going to see if I can put on our background. Of course, there you go. Council, no, that's Tita Verge. Okay, start over. Ito po ang local news natin. Government weighing up alternative solutions for New Zealanders arriving back home amid global COVID-19 pandemic. Ito po ay galing sa One News. Housing Minister Megan Woods says they're looking at better ways to let Kiwis back into the country ahead of the release of an end-to-end review into the damaged isolation and quarantine facilities this afternoon. The overseer of COVID-19 managed isolation and quarantine facilities, Ms. Woods, told TV1's Q&A, Kiwis can now be assured of the robustness of the country's border to keep COVID-19 out of the community. What I've seen in a system that is working well, she said, after having recently visited 6 managed isolation facilities. She said, while people can have faith in the system, she was aware we are reliant on everyone in the facilities following the rules. We are looking for system vulnerabilities. Air Commodore Darren Webb commissioned the review on June 19, soon after he was brought in to help with the facilities after the government's multiple instances of border bangles. Speaking about the introduction of routine testing at days 3 and 12 in managed isolation and quarantine facilities, Ms. Wood said this was an extra line of defense. The most important public health measure that we take is that we keep people in managed isolation for 14 days. She said this was how the country stopped community transmission. When asked why the daily reporting of the numbers of people who had actually been tested versus the number that should be tested only started this week, Ms. Wood said the information could have already been on hand in the fortnight before she started handling the facilities, but that she was now asking for numbers to be reported in a specific way. She said it provided a benefit of allowing her and Commodore Webb to check at a ministerial level that what was happening on the ground. Ms. Wood said people needed to remember how quickly the country's system has had to react to the influx of citizens and residents wanting to return home. She said the government was now looking at medium to long-term solutions as it moved away from responding to the pandemic as an emergency. Ms. Wood said Cabinet had received modeling which showed a 4% growth each fortnight to the end of the year of people in managed isolation facilities. However, she said the figure could change depending on the severity of the virus overseas. What we're dealing with here is a demand-driven system. What we're talking about is New Zealand citizens and permanent residents who have a legal right to come home. She said Cabinet was looking at the ways it could deal with the demand. We have been speaking to airlines. What we've said is that we have very predictable 14-day cycles in this, Ms. Wood said. She said introducing measures for facing could help smooth out day-to-day fluctuations of people entering and exiting the facilities. Ms. Wood also said there needed to be enough personnel to ensure compliance. Ayan, and that is our local news. I think we have 3 today. Did we have 3 today? I think
4.
4.
4 new
four.
Cases.
4 yeah. New cases today from the incoming travelers side. So, yeah, it is very important, isn't it, that we have to deal that line of defense very robustly talaga sa ports natin or sa border.
Yeah, yun nga, yung sabi mo, as long as they're in managed isolation, we don't really have to worry about it.
Correct. Yeah.
Kasi community transmission talaga yung kailangan natin pangalagaan.
Yeah, we don't really want to go back to lockdown.
No, definitely not.
No way.
No.
The 5 million Kiwis did our best.
Correct.
During that lockdown, and we don't want another.
It was nearly a month that we never had a case.
That's right.
We went back to level one. Yeah. Oh, we came down to level one. Yeah. So, honestly.
And siyempre pa po, at ito ang ating public service news. Council makes it easier for Aucklanders to collect rainwater. Napaka-versatile po talaga ng Auckland Council.
Yes! Yeah. Bayo si Tito.
And tayong mga Aucklander especially. Yeah. Auckland Council has announced it is scrapping resource consent fees for the installation of rainwater tanks at residential properties. Yay! Yeah. The fee waiver comes in response to the severe water shortages in the region is currently experiencing. Other measures to incentivize residential rainwater collection are also being considered by the council, including removing the current consenting requirements for rain tanks in residential zones through a change to the Auckland Unitary Plan and making water tanks a requirement for new developments. Mayor Phil Goff says household rainwater tanks can play an important role in Auckland's overall water conservation, and the change is long overdue. It makes sense to capture the rainwater that falls on our roofs, ease the pressure of sudden downpours on our stormwater system, and utilize the water for things like watering the garden and washing the car. With continued drier than usual weather predicted for winter and spring, we need to look at every option for supplementing our water supply to offset a critical shortage of water this summer. If only 1% of Auckland's urban households were to use a rainwater tank in the winter seasons to cover their entire non-potable requirements, this could equate to approximately 1 million liters per day of water over winter being served by rain tanks instead of Auckland's dams, Phil Goff says. Tank size, water usage in the household occupant numbers, and seasonal rainfall will impact the degree to which rainwater tanks can contribute to household water supply. So naturally, this variance would need to be considered before choosing a tank. Rainwater tanks don't just retain a supply of water for toilet flushing, laundry use, and outside taps. They also detain rainfall during extreme rainfall events to alleviate flooding. True. Using rainwater rather than reticulated water comes with a price incentive of water or lower water supply charges, as well as lower volumetric wastewater charges. The financial benefits and environmental benefits combined with a streamlined process make installing a rainwater tank more attractive than ever, he said.
Talaga. That makes sense. It's a win-win, really. It's a win-win. It's just a shame that they don't give us tanks. As well.
Sobra
as
naman na yan.
Payers.
Sobra naman na yan. If you would expect the Auckland Council to supply you with the tanks, pauwiin ko na kayo sa Pilipinas.
5 million people yan, no? So, pagpalagay na natin kalahati niya ng number ng households.
Well, kasi, you know, para talagang maano na yan, ma-embed na yung tanks talaga.
Alam ko, para masaya lahat ng tao.
Ayan.
Pero it's good, no? Na umuulan ng malakas for the past few days. Kasi makakatulong yan dun sa problema natin sa drought.
Yes. And it's no brainer, really. Mm-hmm. You know, para hindi na tayo manghingi sa Waikato.
Totoo yan.
Yeah, that's true.
And plus, yung environmental, yung wala nang flooding. I mean,
exactly.
You know, yung mga ano natin, yung mga sewerage system natin, ano eh, very stressed na eh. Dahil sa too much water sometimes going down the drains, diba?
Totoo yan.
Oo. Mm-hmm. So, it will, mga roads natin, sometimes it's all getting flooded. Mm-hmm. Ayan.
At narito po ang ating health and well-being brought to us by Nurse Munina.
Salamat po, Tita Virgie. Ayan. Siyempre po, COVID pa rin ang pag-uusapan natin. Walang kamatayan, coronavirus. Pero sa Pilipinas po, ang news na i-deliver ko ngayon. So, ito pong news has something to do with the Philippine Red Cross Laboratory that was set up para ma-assess or ma-test ang mga kababayan nating Pilipino para sa coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And this news came from Inquirer.net. So, simulan ko na po. New Philippine Red Cross Lab to boost testing for coronavirus. Manila, Philippines. The country's testing capacity for the new coronavirus is expected to expand after the Philippine Red Cross formally opened on Saturday a molecular laboratory that could process up to 14,000 samples in a day. So this is good news because yes. Ibig sabihin, hopefully, ma-assess na ang maraming mga tao kung carrier sila ng COVID or not. So the facility located at the Red Cross's former headquarters at Port Area is equipped with 7 RNA extractor machines that pertains to coronavirus strand RNA and 14 polymerase chain reaction machines or what we call PCR. And this is used in the so-called gold standard in coronavirus testing. Each automated machine can process up to 1,000 swab samples a day. And these same machines could also be used to detect other illnesses like tuberculosis, hepatitis, and leukemia, as well as the Zika virus borne by mosquitoes and the human immune deficiency virus. Former Health Secretary Pauline Ubial, who is in charge of PCR's laboratories, said that the total cost of processing a swab sample amounts to at least 3,500 pesos. And this is still significantly lower compared to testing at other laboratories, she said. And she also said that results can be released in 24 to 72 hours. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Kasi ibig sabihin, in less than 3 days' time, malalaman ng mga tao kung meron ba silang coronavirus, whether they have the symptoms or not. Ang importante ma-identify kung sino ang merong mikrobyo para ma-isolate natin sila properly so that they won't infect other people.
That's correct.
Ayun. So yan po yung sa Pilipinas. And again, it's good news because alam naman nating lahat na libo-libo ang kaso natin doon. And at the same time, libo-libo na rin ang namamatay dahil sa coronavirus sa ating bansa. So it's about time na fast track ang testing.
Correct, yeah. Mm. And lalo na, di ba ngayon, I've heard in the news na may human trial na ang UK.
Oh yes, I heard about that. Oo.
Nag-human trial na sila for the vaccine.
Yes, sinusubaybuyan ko ngayon eh. Pero yun, siguro in the near future, we can talk about that as well. So correct. Sa ngayon, medyo sinusubaybuyan pa lang natin kung ano nangyari.
At tapos, nakagandahan pag successful, it's a synthetic vaccine.
Mm.
Which is easier apparently to reproduce.
Yes, that's true.
So, gosh, pray, mag-fingers crossed tayo at ipagdadasal po natin lahat yan na makukuha natin yan for sure. Talaga kailangan natin yan.
Yeah,
we need to really go back to normal.
That's true. And it's very alarming kasi sa buong mundo, halos half a million na ang number of deaths.
Oo, totoo.
And which is really sad because, it affects all countries and it affects different ages as well. So, hindi lang natin pwedeng sabihin na pang may edad na even it also affects children. So, it really is about time that we find a solution to this problem, be that a vaccine, be that a cure pa nga, para may ensure that none of the people wherever they are would actually succumb to coronavirus.
Yes. And it's a may na akong balita na mga Pilipino nating kababayan sa Dubai, no? Na
may mga namamatay tayong kababayan.
That is so sad. Na hindi na talaga pinapabalik yung mga bodies sa Philippines. O doon na lang daw nililibing.
Oh my goodness.
Kasi, can you imagine that, Tita Virgin, na hindi talaga mo na talaga forever and ever makita uli?
Or
just to say goodbye or something.
Mm-hmm. And that's very important for us Filipinos. You know, with our family orientation, napakahalaga na we do not only celebrate together but we also mourn together and we grieve together and in that sense kung hindi mo kinikilabutan tuloy ako kung hindi mo makita yung body or even yung ashes nga kasi in some cases na ibabalik pa yung ashes I can imagine yung effect niya doon sa kalooban ng pamilya.
Ang pamilya talaga, you just goodness and to think na they came away from the Philippines just to give a better life or future to the family. Mm. And then, matatapos lang dyan.
Mm. Tapos and, na hindi pa maimourn.
Hindi pa maimourn. Ganun. Talagang malungkot yan po. Kasi yun, mga OFWs, they're very important to our community talaga. Mm. Talaga lang. That's ayan. True. So, ayan. Bago tayo magpatuloy, ito na naman ang ating magandang musika, Tita Verge.
Kanino ito?
Ito naman ay galing kay Eric Santos. Kulang ako kung wala ka.
Aha, oy, totoo yan.
Ano kaya gagawin mo, Tita Verge, kung wala na ako?
Wala na din akong diamonds.
Saan po pwede man ang training? Hindi pwede yan. Nakalockdown pa tayo.
Hindi pwede nakalockdown.
Wala kang pupuntahan. Sorry.
Ayan.
Sige.
Ayan. Ito. Mag-enjoy po kayo. Ayan. Nasaan na ba yun? Ayan. Bakit nawala si Eric Santos?
Yan ba?
Ayan na.
Ayan.
Nag-iisa at hindi mapakali, ibang ipapalapag, wala ka sa aking tabi. Pinipilit kong limutin ka, ngunit di magawa. Sa bawat kong galaw ay laging hanap ka. Nag-iisa ang isang kagaya mo na nagmahal at nagtiyaga sa isang katulad ko. Bakit na ba di ko man lang nabigyan ng halaga? Nagsisisi ngayong wala ka na.
Oh,
totoo talaga yan. Kulang ako kapag wala ka.
Totoo yan, Tita Rish.
Totoong totoo.
Pero hindi ka na kulang ngayon. Sabi mo, meron ka ng nagbibigay ng diamond ring, diamond rings.
Ikaw yun. Ikaw daw yun. Kaya nga, bawal kang mawala eh. Bawal ka umalis ng New Zealand.
Pinaghahambog niya pa yung bagong ring niya. Ibinigay ng Rotarian ata yung nagbigay.
Hindi, uy. Uy, binili ko yan para sa sarili ko, uy.
Pag-uusapan natin yan mamaya.
Ayan. Ang pag-uusapan po natin ay kung papaano ipinakikita ng Pinoy ang ating pagkakaisa at pagbubuhat ng ating sariling bangko kung kinakailangan. Narito po ang isang napakagandang pangyayari sa mga buhay ng mga Pinoy dito sa Auckland. Nangyari po yung kagabi doon sa launch natin sa candidacy ng ating Nurse Munina na siyang unanimously chosen and voted by the East Coast base community to be the Labor Party candidate as Member of Parliament for on this election September 2020. At talaga po naman, hindi lang mga Pinoy, marami ding mga Kiwi at iba't ibang lahi para pong melting pot ang mga bisita kagabi. Yeah. But syempre, mas marami ang Pinoy dahil itinaas po natin ang bandilang Pinoy.
Yes, banderang Pinoy.
Yes, yes. Pula, asul at dilaw
at puti
at puti, ayan at syempre pa po we showcased our food. Napakasarap po ng pagkain, palalawayin namin kayo. Una po merong seafood chowder, niluluto po natin yan sa Pilipinas, pero kung minsan nilalagyan natin ng ham, yun po talagang puro seafood. At syempre pa po genuine talagang Pinoy food kasi ang nagluto ay Pinoy. Yes. At yan po ang Happy Bee. Yeah. Sa 35 Chartwell Road sa Glenfield. Tapos, ang mga main courses po, ito, lechon belly.
Yum!
Diyos ko po. Kumbaga sa ABS-CBN, Diyos ko Lord.
Diyos ko Lord.
Ang sarap-sarap. At meron din pong inasal chicken.
Yes!
Talaga naman. Chicken. Ay, si Manang Trini Bisaya yan. So, alam niya how the inasal Bisayan chicken inasal. Is cooked. At meron pong dalawang klaseng pansit kasi meron tayo ding mga bisitang vegetarian. So kaya po vegetarian yung pansit na yun. Talagang pansit nga na may gulay, wala po talagang karne yun. Meron lang na shrimps.
Yes.
Pero pasado na yun.
Pasado.
Pero meron din pong totoong pansit na may
maraming
mixture
sahog.
Ng maraming
parang
sahog.
Parang isa fake eh, no? Kasi isa totoo.
Ayan. Ayan. Pagkatapos, ano pa ba isang main course doon?
May kaldereta ba?
Yeah, yun. Mayroon pong beef kaldereta na pagkasarap-sarap.
Ayan, talaga. Yeah. Oh, melts in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yung kaldereta na yun.
Talaga. Thank you very much, Ben Lagonde, Edwin Kiso, and iba pa.
Crew.
Sa Happy Bee Crew, talagang ang pagkasarap-sarap ng luto ninyo kagabi.
Yes. Ita may lumpia pa.
Oo. At syempre pa po may isa pang vegetarian sa menu, yung lumpiang sariwa. Mm-hmm. Talaga pong sariwang sariwa ang lumpia, vegetables talaga, at walang meat yun.
Walang meat.
Kaya pasado sa
vegetarian. And the dessert?
Ang the dessert?
Yes.
Naku, hindi ko manatikman kagabi.
Ay,
pero
hindi mo natikman dito.
Eh, kasi
in a way, kasi ni Wilma lahat yun.
Kaya pala.
Just kidding.
Hindi, kasi panay, alam nyo naman tayo, mahilig sa stage. Kaya akyat ako ng akyat sa stage. Hindi ko nakain yung lumpia ko, hindi ko rin nakain yung aking buko pandan.
Yes.
Kaya, Happy Bee. Calling Happy Bee, may utang kayo sa akin. Hindi ko nakatikim ng lumpiang sariwa at ng
buko pandan.
Buko pandan.
Sama na loob ni Tita Virgie.
Oo, talaga. Hindi ko makatulog kagabi.
Ayan. Kaya nakita ko kayo kanina umaga, namamagay mata na sa tulog. Hindi kayo nakatulog.
Nanginiyak yun. Sa iyak.
O, para ayan. Bayan, Ben, at saka Edwin.
Pero napakasaya po at lahat ng mga bisita, mapaputi, mapapilipino, mapadikulay. In fact, we have 4 Korean friends who were there.
Mm-mm.
No other than World TV's Tony Kim and Diane Lee. And si Diane Lee po ay sa Korean community talaga. She was the outgoing president. And the 2 very important Korean friends we have last night were Mr. Philip Hong and his wife, Mrs. Shoni Mrs. Sean Shin, si Mr. Philip Hong naman po ang outgoing president ng Korean Sports Council here in New Zealand. And nice. Katunayan po, last year, nagdala siya ng 200 New Zealanders sa Korea sa kanilang sports, Philippine National, Korean National Sports ata.
Yeah, nice.
And yung susunod nilang dadalhin, mga Pilipino na po ang dadalhin nila.
Nice.
That is because we are working on a very close ties with the Filipinos Korean. And the Koreans.
Yes.
Ayan.
Yes.
And isa pa, hindi lang po mga Pilipino ang masasaya kagabi. Not because ang atin pong band from Waikato, ang Melodica Band, hindi lang sila talagang magaling kumanta, kundi napakagaling po nilang tumugtog at kumanta ng Tagalog na kanta.
Mm-hmm.
Ang unang-una nilang tinugtog ay, anong
yung
title na ngayon?
Apo Hiking Society,
Hindi
papayag ang puso kong ito.
Apo Hiking Society. Apo Hiking Society ang kinanta nila.
Yes.
Siyempre pa po, kinanta nila yung
VST ang kampanya
sa ilalim ng dilaw na buwan. Hindi pala, sa ilalim ng puting ilaw. Sa ilalim ng buwan. Yeah. Ay na po. And yung kahit din po yung kanilang bouncy music, lahat yata ng Pinoy gustong sumayaw, wala na. Puno na yung dance floor. But siyempre po ang mga Kiwi nakisayaw din.
Yeah.
Ayan.
At saka yung Manila.
Ayun,
Manila.
Yan. Manila. Ah, lahat ng Pinoy nag-i-stamp ng mga paa nila.
It was so funny, Tita Verge, because when they come up the stage, kasi mga are they Maori?
Pacific and Maori.
And then the Kiwi. So, there's no Filipino on the stage at all. As soon as they open their mouth singing OPM, Apo Hiking Society, all Filipinos took all their phones and record everything. And you can see, it's so funny to see the audience just all of these holding phones, recording. OMG, look at that. So everyone, and they were so quiet, just... And you know, their jaw dropped really because they did not expect those band to sing
exactly
lovely OPMs.
And in fact, meron akong dalawang kaibigan na approach agad sa akin, tita, kausapin mo naman, gusto namin sa birthday namin tutugtog sila, wag lang mahal. Pagkakainin namin sila na masarap talaga. Yeah. And I know Joey, Shane and Crystal, Sam and Kane, I'm
yes.
sure you are listening. Shiloh and I forget the other one's name. I'm sure you are listening today. And I know you told me last night that you were very happy with the food and the good crowd. Ayan. We are hoping you can come back to Auckland again sometime in September or maybe even August para sa birthday nitong mga kaibigan ko. Wag lang mahal. Joey, you explain it to them.
Wag lang mahal.
Oh, sure. Galing Pilipino, wag lang mahal palagi.
Wag lang mahal. Yes.
Yeah. We Pinoys, we always want a bargain.
Yeah.
Kahit pa siguro ang bargain natin ay 5 cents, masaya na tayo.
Nakabargain tayo.
Correct. Yeah.
Pero yun, kahapon nga, may nag-approach sa akin na dalawang Europeans and they were asking me kung ano daw yung ethnicity nung band. Sabi ko,
Filipino for
they
sure.
They look like, you know, they're a combination of Maori Pacifica and also European. And then she asked, but that language, that's Filipino, right? Sabi ko, yes, that's Filipino. And she said, how come they know that? I don't know. Ask them.
Yes.
I was amused myself.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good last night. And
they're
so proud of them.
Yeah. Yes. And of course, the highlight is... we have two government ministers with us.
Yes.
And they were both very awesomely pleased and enthusiastic about how the Filipinos can support the government because they have seen that, hey, here are heaps of Filipinos and all happy, they cannot describe how we Filipinos unite for a cause.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's the first time that the Philippine that the government ministers really realized what the Filipinos can do, when we unite.
And if they tap in our community, ayan, in the bag ang ano nyo.
Yes.
Ang pagkapanalo nyo.
Yes.
Ah. That's true.
And who
sabay ganun eh.
Exactly. Mm. And who I am referring to is no other than our Minister Phil Twyford of Transport and Urban Development.
Yes.
And Minister Jenny Salesa of Ethnic Communities and Health and Education. And
hindi na po help.
and another, she has a few portfolios. She was very happy as well.
Yeah.
And of course,
building and construction.
Yeah, building and construction, which is she appreciates that the Filipinos are into the building and industry.
Oh,
building
correct.
And construction
dami
industry.
Dami kayang mga Filipinos sa construction ngayon.
Yeah. Tsaka customs pala.
And customs pala. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, oh. And of course, we also have got the labor candidate for Northcote, none other than Sianan Halbert. Mm-hmm. And there were Filipino voters from his electorate who were there.
Yes.
And I saw to it that I introduced him to them, and they were all very happy.
Yes, and we also have Romy Uranga there.
He surfaced. He came out to join us, which was very good.
Yes,
and that shows that in our leadership, Filipino leadership, hindi tayo namimili.
For sure.
We involve everyone as much as we could.
Exactly.
The only thing is if they are not available or at the time they cannot realize yet or have not realized the importance of being one, hindi sila makarating.
Mm-hmm.
But I am sure in the heart of Romy Odanga, he knew that it is to his advantage as well as a labor candidate for North Shore, that if he joins with other Filipinos, he is portraying that the unity of Filipinos is first and foremost to us Filipinos, to show not only to the current labor government but to the whole of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Lalo na sa National Party, we are united to, you know, as a labor.
Yes.
As a labor
supporting.
Supporting labor supporters.
Constituents. Yeah. Tapos, sa matakot na sila.
Meron din pong former MP who was there. Dr. Rajin Prasad.
Yes.
He actually lives in East Coast Bay.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. And cool. I'm really surprised na, you know, it's my first time actually to see him, although I've seen him in Zoom meetings. So it's really good na he showed up. And
awesome.
And he was very happy as well with the, you know, with the camaraderie, the friendship.
Yes.
And experience niya sa Filipinos.
It was a very happy event.
It was very positive.
Everybody is mingling and chatting away, and it was good. It was a success. So congratulations, Tita Virgie.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulate ko kasi malaki ang role niya doon sa pag-organize na activity na yun.
Thank you, Miss Monina. You gave me the chance. So I took it. How do they call it?
With open arms and legs.
Sinker.
Oh, yeah.
With open arms and legs.
Ganun pa rin. Yeah. And what was really good there too is even Dr. Rajin Prasad won in the raffles.
Oh, yes. Oh,
he won two and he gave away the other one.
Yeah.
Most of the people that won two always give it to the next one.
Yeah, the one in the reception, Glenda.
Si Glenda,
She won two as well and she said no to the second one.
That was the biggest one. That was the hamper.
And the lucky winner of that hamper is none other than our very good friend,
Lolit Yang.
Congratulations, Lolit.
And also, yun si Maris yun, pangalawa din niyang, yung first, yung una.
Yeah, the first Filipino.
Her
husband-to-be won the second prize, so they gave it away as well.
Yes.
And even our honorable Jenny Salesa, she won a prize, but she told me, if you get one, Please redraw it. And we did.
Ayan.
So napakaganda.
Yun nga, no? It's all, that is a manifestation of how yung positivity ng mga tao kahapon.
Yes,
they're very giving.
It's not just, I win again.
I bring this home. No.
Yes,
talagang very willing sila to give out.
Give
whatever they got
to
other people.
And I am very happy and thankful to all the sponsors who provided the prizes.
Yeah.
Firstly, I know Joel Aquino and
Agnes Brown?
No, not yet. No. I mean, Francis Arquiza from the International Airport. Joel lost his job for a few weeks. He did not have any job. So it was only Francis who was earning. But luckily, Joel got a job already with Fisher and Paykel. And both of them came up with three prizes each. Mm. So thank you. I know you haven't got much, but you were very generous in doing that.
Yeah.
On top of that, here's another one, Miss Agnes Brown, my very nice lady friend, Agnes Brown of Gold Jewelry 2000. She came up with two jewelry bits, a set of corals and a set of amethyst. Mm. I'm sure the people who won would be very, very happy with that. My other very close friend as well, Josie Mitchell of Josie's Beauty Salon. She came up with a big prize as well of beauty products.
Yes.
And who else from the Filipinos?
MJ Cougar.
We did not draw the one of MJ because she got sick and she was not able. But don't worry, MJ, your prize will be drawn on the next event.
Yes.
Because we also have got another prize that we were not able to raffle, or rather auction. Because we time is running out and the rain is threatening to fall. We closed it and we will use that again.
What was that? The hand-painted one, Tritavel?
Yeah, the hand-painting
one. That's from Shirley Merkel.
Shirley from East Coast Base. No, that was a raffle.
It was an auction. You were asking for bids, but I don't think anyone bid.
No. That was a raffle. One that was auctioned was the donation from Mr. Tony Kim of Korean World TV. That was worth $300.
Correct,
and I auctioned it, but nobody bid, so I bid for $100. So I won it.
Isa pa yung voucher.
Then there's another voucher given by
Linda.
That was $100 worth, and a Filipino won that for $55.
$70.
$70.
Pero binayaran niya ng 80. Nakita ko na sa bank.
Sino na ngayon? Congratulations.
He's a nurse.
Yes.
Gino. Si Gino.
Vino.
Vino. Vino. Thank you, Vino. Siya yung ikakasal, di ba?
Hindi po. Sino yun?
Vino, malapit ka na ikasal.
Naku, Vino, ikakasal ka na rin.
Sino pa yung mga nanalo? Ano pa ba?
Ay, madami nanalo.
Madami.
Except you ata, dami mong tickets eh.
Oo, dami kong tickets. Hindi ko nanalo sa prize. Pero I bought a vase.
Yeah.
Personally.
That is so nice, that one.
Done by one of the top ceramic artists of Korea.
Actually, I got that. Tinitinan ko ay my school of fish.
I know, school of fish. And that I will give as a present to my first granddaughter.
Oh.
Who almost died twice. The first one was suspected swine flu.
Oh.
And then the last one was in 2 years ago when, which finally the Australian health professionals found out it was called European fever. So they know now how to treat it. But despite that, she almost died twice. She is a very good girl, really. She saved up from her earnings, from her job, even if she goes on holiday every year with her sister, Rhea. And she was still able to save up for her deposit. And of course, my youngest daughter, attorney Anna Victoria Araneta, she helped her with funds as well to buy a unit, a condominium unit in Sydney.
Oh,
she's only
nice.
26. I'm very proud of that. My first granddaughter. The one that I bought for $300, which I bargained it, obviously, for $100. That will go to you, Tony. A congratulations for having a house while you are still single and young. 26.
That would look lovely in the in the condo.
A school of fish.
Maganda yun with appropriate lighting.
Yes, correct.
It's a very nice pottery. Yeah.
Ayan.
Naubos na ba nating sabihin yung highlights kagabi?
Nakalimutan ko sabihin, tita, meron tayo yung isa sa mga guests natin yesterday was the former chief nurse as well, Dr. Mark Jones. And he used to be my boss as well at the School of Nursing ng Massey University.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Yeah, so he was there. So apart from, you know, the MPs and also the former MPs and a future MP.
Yes,
meron ding chief nurse.
Yeah. And there were also a lot of health professionals last night in support of Nurse Monina.
Oh, right.
Because even my relations who are nurses, they were there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Ayun, kaya salamat sa kaninang lahat.
Yes.
Ayan. We miss you, Joe, but on our next event, wala ka ng kawala. We know it was your daddy's birthday, so obviously daddy first before friends.
Oo naman. Magkakwento si Joe sa atin buka. Mamaya. Tungkol sa kanilang celebration.
Ayan. Ito na po ang ating Buhay Pinoy sa Mundo.
Ayan. It looks like we're gonna be short of time, Tita Ray, shall we? Okay. So we're just going to really... this is an article a couple of years ago na this is all about how we cope as an overseas workers, ano, and in another country. But this is also to do around social media and how it actually helped our OFWs. So diba minsan most of us anyways, if the end of the year is approaching, busy na tayo nag anong ginagawa natin normally, nagpaplano na tayo ng pag-uwi, ano, right? So ito sabi nila, for some of the 10 million overseas workers, Filipino workers or OFWs, yung mga trips na mga ganyan is sometimes is out of the question, yung mga planning of trips, ano, with their working days inflexible and of course flights often lengthy and expensive. Saan naman kayo nagtatrabaho? Bakit lengthy and expensive? Totoo yan. So kasi ako nga before in London, goodness gracious, takes too long to go home. Yeah. So, but that doesn't stop these workers from sending things back home, be it money to support their families or gifts around the holidays. These remittances sent to the Philippines are crucial to the country's economy. Kaya nga naging modern hero ang mga OFWs natin ngayon. Now, without the option of visiting, of course, in the Philippines, many OFWs seek other ways of connecting with their home country. Talking to their family and friends or fellow OFWs, catching up on the latest teleseries and getting involved in the various Filipino communities in the respective countries, it has become the second nature to communicate through social networking, of course, or messaging apps, using them to stay in touch with family and friends no matter how far or near they are. With something close to 2/3 of the Philippines on Facebook, 2/3 pala ng population is on Facebook, the country and its people are among some of the most enthusiastic users of the social media. In places where there are large concentrations of OFWs, it is not unusual to see them catching up with friends and families on FaceTime, Skype, or Facebook's video chat. Ayan. So, yun lang po ang nagpapasaya sa atin, of course. However, with some countries being more restrictive on which sites people can access, OFWs often use proxies or VPNs providers with Philippine servers to access content as if they were at home. Totoo yan, ano? Kasi may mga countries talaga na bawal yung mga teleserye natin. Ganyan. So the new OFWs have also taken to creating their own content, vlogging to connect with their home country. Ayan. So the phenomenon has grown to the point where Philippine TV shows give time to highlight OFW's vloggers who talk about their day-to-day lives, typically using YouTube or Instagram stories to share their experiences with fellow OFWs and Filipinos back home. Ayan. Maganda naman pala. So it really, social media has created so much more. It's beyond just
chismisan, ano?
Totoo yan.
It is actually connecting to our family back home. So, yeah. So, the community also acts as a safety net yung mga social media na yan, providing useful knowledge and support for OFWs who may be experiencing abuse from their employers. In establishing a community where everyone helps one another and shares their experiences and possible connections with other Filipinos in similar positions, the network of OFWs abroad acts as a positive influence for the Filipino communities. The results of having over 10% of the Filipino population working abroad and sending back remittances goes beyond the economic contribution to the Philippines and that the country they work in, of course, with the situation for many OFWs making it difficult for them to return home regularly. Creating a home away from home then becomes paramount in maintaining a connection to it. So that is ang buhay Pinoy po natin sa mundo. Hindi, totoo yan talaga. Without social media, napakalungkot talaga.
Palungkot, totoo.
And then we will lose our culture, hindi ba? So we are creating new culture through social media. Awesome! Ayan, yan po ang buhay Pinoy natin sa mundo. And we are now going to our Philippine news.
Now for the Philippine news. Kadugtong pa rito po ito nung aking news kanina. This has something to do with the Red Cross capability of testing several thousands of people for COVID. Yes. So this came from philippinestar.com and the title is Red Cross now capable of testing 22,000 cases a day. So the Philippine Red Cross can now test around 22,000 coronavirus disease or COVID-19 samples a day with the increase in the daily capacity of its molecular laboratory in Port Area, Manila to 14,000 tests. PRC Chairman Richard Gordon said that the opening of their molecular laboratory in Manila is a great help in containing COVID-19 in the country as more testing can be conducted. Our molecular laboratory in Manila is equipped with 7 RNAs or ribonucleic acid with 14 polymerase chain reaction or PCR machines that are capable of testing 14,000 samples per day. He noted that the Manila laboratory has been in operation since May, but it was only yesterday that it was inaugurated. In time, with the installation of 3 more machines to increase the testing capacity of Metro Manila. So aside from the testing facility in Manila, the PRC has 2 biomolecular laboratories in Mandaluyong City, and that's 8,000 tests per day. 1 in Clark, Pampanga, that's 4,000 tests per day, and 1 in Subic Freeport, that's 2,000 tests per day. So 2 facilities in Mandaue City and Batangas City are also set to open soon. The PRC also intends to establish testing laboratories in tourist subs of the country like Boracay, Bohol, Palawan, and Siargao in preparation for the opening of the tourist industry in these areas. So, maganda to, no? Kasi kung mag-open ang bansa natin for international tourists, it's good that they would have those.
Yes. Yep. Extra precaution and support natin sa ating tourists.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so yung 22,000 malamang magdodoble pa yan.
Yes.
Ayun. So this will really help us ramp up our testing capacity so that more people will get tested all over the country. With more testing capacity, we can easily identify those who are positive and segregate them from those who were tested negative, he said. Gordon has been consistently pushing for massive testing so that those who test negative can go back to work, especially those who lost their jobs during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. This will also help revive the country's economy immediately. And testing is key. The whole testing in the Philippines right now is at 0.4%, and that's very far from the 13% standard of the World Health Organization. We have not tested enough, but we have the capacity, he said. Mm. PRC laboratories account for most of the COVID-19 tests being conducted in the country. So this is really good news. Kasi kung 0.4% pa lang ang capability natin.
Long way to go.
Yeah, long way to go.
And but they're getting there.
Yes. I guess ma-achieve naman natin yung 13% na yan.
Correct.
Yes.
And here is another news from the Philippines. Enrollment still 13 million short of target. Galing po ito sa Department of Education through PhilStar.
With less than a week before the end of the enrollment period for the upcoming school year, the Department of Education or DepEd is still nearly 13 million short of its original target. Education Secretary Leonor Briones told CNN Philippines on June 11 that their target is to reach 28 million enrollees by the end of the month or with some extension. When we have that, that means our target enrollment is already reached, she said. But data as of Saturday morning showed that only 15,183,075 students have so far expressed their intent to enroll in the upcoming school year, which is expected to forgo face-to-face classes due to the risks of contracting coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19. More than 14.5 million of them intend to enroll in public schools, while 621,985 are in private schools. There were more than 27 million students enrolled from kindergarten to grade 12 last school year, most of whom, over 22 million, were in public schools. DepEd reminded those who intend to enroll in public schools to do so on or before Tuesday. It has yet to announce that if the enrollment period will be extended. Learner enrollment survey forms may be submitted remotely or through the designated drop boxes in schools, barangay halls, and other locations. In the case of private schools, officials earlier said they expect the number to rise in the succeeding weeks as many have yet to start their enrollment updates or enrollment periods. Education Undersecretary for Curriculum Diosdado San Antonio said a review would be conducted on the recent department order requiring private schools to complete a checklist and submit a readiness assessment to implement distance learning. Several groups earlier called for the suspension of the directive, with the Coordinating Council of Private Educational Associations saying it did not comply with the requirements for public consultation and publication for it to take effect. DepEd would meet with representatives of private school organizations to discuss their concerns in the upcoming school year.
Ayan. And that's our Philippine news. So tayo po ay dadako na sa ating Women's Affairs at Ipapa. Pinay named mayor in the Yoki Borough. A Filipina has been sworn in as the new mayor of Herdsmere Borough, an administrative district located north of London in the United Kingdom. Councillor Cynthia Barca, former Herdsmere deputy mayor, was appointed to the post during the borough's virtual annual council meeting conducted online on June 24. While it is disappointing that we weren't able to mark the moment in the usual way, I am still so proud and honored to take on this role, Barker was quoted as saying in a report on Herdsmere's website. I'm fully aware of the importance of the role of mayor and this time of uncertainty, fear, and sadness for so many. The mayor serves as a figurehead for the whole of the Herdsmere's community and can really help to bring people together, she added. Ayan, born in Laguna, Barker has been a long-time resident of Herdsmere, where she has been active in various initiatives, including among the Filipino community. She is a constant specializing in immigration law, advising companies, families, and individuals on home office rules. Ayan. Yan po ang ating Women's Affairs at iba pa. We're proud of you, Ms. Cynthia Barca.
Another Pinoy moment.
Yes.
Pinoy proud moment.
Oh, diba?
Ayan.
Yeah, and showbiz balita natin. Yes. Kay Nurse Monina yan.
Oh, okay.
Ayan.
Yes. Nung nabasa ko to, medyo nakakalungkot kasi I grew up with these movies. Yes. Oh, diba? Si Senator, I still call him Senator.
Correct.
Senator Ramon Revilla Sr. So, hari ng agimat, showbiz industry mourns Ramon Revilla Sr.'s passing. And this is from Philippine Star. Yeah. So, veteran actor and former Senator Ramon Revilla Sr. passed Friday at 93 years old. Oh,
yeah. Galing, no?
Edad niya. Mm-hmm. His son, actor and Senator Ramon Bong Revilla Jr. announced through a Facebook Live video. After 93 full years, our father, former Senator Ramon Revilla Sr., succumbed to heart failure at 5:20 this afternoon. He's now free from physical pain and is in the loving arms of our creator, Bong announced in a separate post. Thank you very much for the sorry, for the love and prayers as we ask for continuous prayers for the eternal repose of his soul. Bong's video was viewed over 180,000 times, while over 16,000 expressed their sympathies, including showbiz personalities. Born Jose Acuña Bautista Sr. So, yes. Hindi pala Revilla talaga, no? Bautista Baptist talaga sila.
Yes.
Yes, on March 8, 1927, in Imus, Cavite, Ramon Sr. is the youngest of 10 children of entrepreneurs Ildefonso Bautista and Andrea Acuña. A graduate of bachelor's degree in commerce from FEU, Ramon Sr. was the father of actors Bong, Princess Revilla, Ram Revilla, and Marlon Bautista. Ramon Sr. began his showbiz career playing small parts in films, which prompted him to leave showbiz for a while to become the head of the Bureau of Customs Secret Service Unit in 1965.
Yes.
Oh, hindi natin alam to, ha?
I didn't know that, yeah.
Secret kasi, kaya yeah. siguro. Mm-hmm. Ayun. He also created his own film outfit, Imus Productions, through which he starred in almost 300 films in almost 6 decades until 2005. Most notably, he rose to fame portraying the Cavite gangster Nardong Putik in 1972, and the seemingly invincible crime crusader Pepeng Agimat in 1973. Mukhang ito yung napanood ko. Kasi kilala ko si Pepeng Agimat eh.
Yes.
Ayun. These characters gave him the image of having superhuman powers through the help of his anting-anting or what we call
Agimat. Agimat.
Yun, alam ko yan, yung mga anting-anting at Agimat na yan.
Yes.
In 1973, he won as FAMAS Best Actor Award for Hulihin si Tiagong Akyat. Parang alam ko din to. Together with his son Marlon for a FAMAS Best Child Actor Award of the same movie. Mm-hmm. His Imus Productions was awarded as Outstanding Film Production in 1975. Mm-hmm. The following year, he bagged the Outstanding Producer of the Year Award. He was hailed as the most outstanding actor and box office king in 1979, while in 2011, the 33rd Catholic Mass Media Awards night conferred Ramon Sr. the Lifetime Achievement Award. Talaga naman, ang dami niyang achievements. Ang dami niyang achievements.
Ang dami niyang award talaga.
And all of us grew up with his movies, yes. I suppose. Mm-hmm. So in 1992, Ramon Sr. became a senator and held office until the end of his 2 terms in 2004. Among his achievements included an amendment to the country's family code law that enables illegitimate children to use the surname of their father if their affiliation has been expressly recognized by the father through the record of birth appearing in the civil register, mm-hmm, or when an admission in a public document or private handwritten instrument is made by the father. Mm-hmm. Ayan. So yung pag-amin ng mga ama,
yes,
na mga anak nila
ama.
Yung...
Oh, kumbaga, paternity test.
Yes.
Approved.
That's alright. Yes.
Kasi ibang katatayan na dinedenay minsan ang pagiging ama nila ng mga bata. Ayun. So the child should not suffer the stigma of his illegitimacy. Ramon Sr. was once quoted in saying, he fathered at least 72 children from 16 women.
72 children.
16 women!
Yeah, lahat niya sila Bautista.
Okay.
Ayun, dahil sa kanyang law. Anyway, last Father's Day, Bong honored his father by giving everyone a virtual tour of his dad's rooms, photos,
okay,
and memorabilia.
Ayan.
Yun po.
Ayan.
At tayo, at malapit na naman pong matapos ang isang oras at 20 minuto naming pakikipagniig sa inyo. Ayan. Ayan. Maraming salamat po at magandang gabi sa inyong lahat.
Yes.
Kinukumbida pa sana namin kayo July 5. Yan po ang ating celebration ng Independence Day of the Philippines, which should have happened June 12 or June 19 sa Rizal's birthday, our Philippine National Heroes. Pero matutuloy po yan sa July 5. And we are very proud to tell you that we will be appearing in TFC's Kaladkaren.